This is Thursday, the 21st of March, and I have with me, right next to me here, Cameron Claiborne, and Cameron is with me here at Cardinal Ritter College Prep High School, and
hey.
We are broadcasting here from the high school. We also have Alan Horton, and Alan, of course, a very well-known sports broadcaster here in St. Louis, who often goes by the name Baby-O. Hi, Baby-O.
How you doing? And how
not
you doing, Cameron?
Anymore, are you?
Well, according to my mother, I'll always go be a baby. So
exactly. But let's not forget one thing, and that is that you are Onion's son.
And, that's correct.
And, you know, I may have been with Onion for 25 years, but you were with Onion for a whole lot longer than that.
Almost 60 years.
There you go. And of course, we love Onion. And we have a lot to talk about. Not so much tonight about it, but there's some things going on here in town to honor Onion. And I'm really excited about that. And it's all through Washington University. And so that's really outstanding. Now, let me tell you, well, first let me ask you. I've been told that you have family members who went to Cardinal Ritter.
Yes, I did. My nephew Richard went, and his sister went. His sister Kara went. That's my brother's children.
Gotcha.
They both graduated, and in fact, they both went to St. Louis University, and they both graduated from St. Louis University. Richard is working with Charter or Spectrum Communications, and Kara is a teacher with she's a special ed teacher.
Certainly not surprising, not at all. Anyway, Cameron here is one of my students, has been a student of mine for years here at the school, and you're a senior this year, right? Yeah, senior, and he's also a football player on this team, which, and I'm guessing that you probably know this, Alan, that the football team here is lights out fabulous.
And we also got to congratulate the girls basketball team also.
Well, there you go. So you know about, we're going to get to that in a minute. You know, so there's no question. In fact, they had a big ceremony today that honored the basketball team, because, I mean, football and basketball, obviously, I think it's fair to say this school is a powerhouse.
Girls and boys. Teams are doing very well.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
Consider how much the enrollment is changing all around the city. You know, it's nice to see Cardinal Ritter still doing well, getting good athletes and education at the same time.
No, listen, this school keeps expanding. More and more kids going here, and kids on waiting list to get into here, because this is a phenomenal school. 45 years, and it is great. So talk to me for a second, Cameron. Tell us about the football team. Why are you so good? And remember now, you hear me. You got to speak up and sort of lean into it a little bit. But other than that, you're good.
So I've been a part of the football team since my sophomore year. I loved it. It's a great experience. We won. Became the first team in Cardinal Ritter history to become state champions for the back-to-back. It was phenomenal. Loved it. And I think we paved the way for the younger guys to set the tone for when they get ready to go to state.
Yeah, you really are leaders. I mean, I mean, people say that all the time. But in this case, you all lead and mentor the other players on the team, right?
Yes, sir.
Who's in charge of the team? I know who it is, but tell us who.
Me, Isaiah, Q, Tony.
Yeah, but let's, okay, gotcha. And who's the coach?
Coach Brennan Spain.
Yeah, Spain is terrific. Yeah. He and I taught at Vashon together for a number of years. And then here we are at Cardinal Ritter, and we love it very much. So, Alan, here's what my question is for you. Are the Cardinals
going to
be in place again?
Are they going to be what?
Are the Cardinals going to be in last place again? What do you think?
You know, actually, I don't think so. But the problem is, I think they may finish third at best because they have too many question marks. And when I listen to people around town talk about them, it seems like every player they mention, they follow it with the word if. And if you say if more than two or three times, you may have a problem with each player. They're going to be better than last year. They can't be worse. They finished 20 games under 500, which was 71 wins and 91 losses. So I think they'll be better than that. But the question is, are they going to be 20 games better than last year? And it's going to take 85 to 90 wins to win this division.
I would think so. Do you follow baseball?
No, but what I'm hearing from the Cardinals, the organization, I think they can really pull this out.
Okay. So you think they're going to look really good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
No? Okay. I don't know much about some of the new ones either. Let's start with Sonny Gray, Alan. Obviously, he's hurt. How hurt do you think he is, or do you know?
You know, I'm going to tell you something, Mark. With the Cardinals, you never know how hurt he is. Now, he had a little issue, but he was pitching in the spring training game. He said he felt a little tightness, but he's working on the sidelines. So that's a good sign, because at first I thought that he may be out for a while, but maybe they're just sitting him out, just making sure he's 100% healthy. So it's not as bad as I thought it was, because he was throwing on the sidelines in the bullpen about a week or so afterwards. He hasn't gotten back in the game yet, but right now he's listed as our best pitcher. And it's not good to have your best pitcher on the injured list going into the season, because he was supposed to be the opening day starter. But now he's not going to do the Miles Michaelis is going to be opening day starter now. So it's just wait and see. And the Cardinals aren't the greatest in reporting injuries either. So that's why when they say something about an injury, we all kind of cringe, hoping that if they say day to day, it could be 6 months.
Yeah. By the way, I've got Michael over here on the feed saying, and he happens to be my cousin, by the way. He's in Arizona, too. And he says, and I think that this is a concern of a lot of people, he says, don't these guys need a new manager?
You know, the problem about Cardinals needing a new manager, it sounds good, but the problem with the Cardinals is a lot of the manager stuff now is done through what they call analytics. So right. Basically, what's on a tablet basically is how managers manage. So some of the moves that the manager makes, people that criticize him for them, but he's basically going on a spreadsheet or what is coming from the analytics department. So if they get rid of Ollie, they're going to bring in a manager, first of all, who's got to go by what they're doing now. So I'm not sure if another manager will make a difference. The days of the old school manager is over with, where 9 innings, you just go by gut feeling and say, this guy, I'm going to put this guy in because I got a hunch. Those days are over with.
Well, you know, it was funny, too, because I heard somebody talking the other day about Sandy Koufax and Ron Drysdale. And by the way, do you know who Sandy Koufax was? Ron Drysdale? You know, I'll tell you what's funny about, let's start with that. You know, historic memory is so short, Alan. It's beyond belief. And I teach history up here, and I can tell you right now, people forget very, very quickly. I did a an interview two nights ago with one of the top scholars in the United States, actually in the world, who researches and does work related to James Baldwin. And we were commenting on how, you know, people's names just disappear. Now, Baldwin's name has stuck around pretty good, but a lot of names disappear. James Baldwin is a famous black author who was more than a black author. He was an author, great author, and he happened to be black, but he was a great author. And he was a leader in many ways, a thought leader during the civil rights movement in the United States. Now, that's on the literary and the political side, but, you know, to have people forgetting Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax, that yeah, and I know that people don't know those names, but let me say this: when you gave them the ball, Alan, they pitched the game.
I'll throw another name out there, Bob Gibson.
I was going to say that next, sure.
You know, can you imagine in the fifth inning, Bob Gibson got two runners on base, and the manager comes out talking about, we think the next guy is a left-hander. We're gonna bring in Steven Matz or somebody to get him out. Bob Gibson would knock him off that mound and tell him, get out of here.
I was going to say, Bob Gibson would probably throw the ball at the manager before he threw the ball next at the batter.
You know, an amazing stat. The year Bob Gibson had the ERA of 1.12, first of all, they lowered the mound the year after that. You know, Bob Gibson changed the way pitchers pitched. Because of that season. And I believe that same season, Denny McLean had 30 victories for the Detroit Tigers. But what's funny, I believe that year, now my number could be a little off, he pitched over 30 complete games.
Yep.
Mark, there are teams that don't pitch that many complete games now during a regular season.
Yeah, and I was just going to tell Cameron, you know, What Gibson did, do you know that name? Bob Gibson? Okay, black. Okay, well, that's a black pitcher, okay? And what he used to do is he'd throw the ball at the batter and push him off the plate.
Oh, yeah.
The next pitch would be on the outside corner, and no one would adjust to it. I mean, he just went through the lineups with no problem. He wiped them out. He was a pitcher.
And it's fun. It's funny because if a guy hits a home hit a, happen to hit a home run off Bob Gibson, which rarely happened, the next batter who came up knew he was going to get plunked.
Yep.
Bob Gibson was sitting in a mess because he wasn't going to wait for eight batters to come up for the go around for that next batter to come up. He would brush the other guy off the plate, or he would hit him in the rib cage. It was almost as if the guy hits a home run. When he comes to the plate, scores, the next batter on the on deck circle is looking at him. Why did you do that? And I got to go here and face this guy.
Explain this to Cameron for a second, and I'm just going to talk to somebody real quick, and I'll be right back. Go ahead.
Sure. Bob Gibson was an excellent pitcher, man. I mean, he won the Cy Young Award. He had over 3,000 strikeouts. He didn't get to the magical 300 victories. But he had like 270 or 280. But he was definitely the best pitcher St. Louis ever saw. And he's actually one of the best pitchers of the 60s, and mid-70s. But back then, they had like the pitcher Mark mentioned, Sandy Koufax. They had a guy named Juan Marichal that pitched with the San Francisco Giants. You know, those pitchers, they pitched nine innings. When they came in the game, when they took the mound, didn't nobody expect to come in and relieve them unless they were really having a bad day. And even after that, they didn't want to come out. You know, they would argue with the managers, you know, on the mound and say, you know, I could get this next batter. Manager would walk away, next guy comes up, he would strike him out. Yes. Yeah, so it was really good. Cameron, ask you a question though while we're waiting for Mark to can you hear me okay? Hello? Cameron, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. About the football team. How many seniors you got? How many players you got coming back from this year's team?
We're looking around 45 to 50. Phenomenal wow. Guys. I think they can.
That's almost everybody, isn't it? That's almost everybody, isn't it?
Yeah.
So basically, you had a young team that won the second state championship in a row, and you got most of the starters coming back. So you feel pretty good about number three, don't you? By having three in a row, don't you?
Yeah, I think Coach Payne's game plan is phenomenal. I think whatever he has in that game plan, I think it'll work until, you know, he's getting ready to leave.
Yeah, and what I like about him, he notices a player. Sometimes he don't get the player to try to fit his system. He will try to coach where he can make this player better or that player better, because everybody is not going to be the same when it comes to being on the football team, and that's worked for him, and I have to commend him for that.
Yeah,
it's nice to have. Nice. What position you play?
I play D tackle.
I kind of figured you was some kind of lineman, an offensive defensive lineman. How big are you?
6 foot, 250 pounds.
6 foot, 250. And you're a junior?
I'm a senior. Yeah.
You're a senior?
Yeah. Oh,
okay, so you won't be back next year to enjoy that third state championship.
I won't be back next year.
Yeah, so where are you going to go to school, Cameron?
I plan on going to Morehouse College to play football.
Oh, now that's terrific.
Yeah.
That is outstanding.
Where you say you're going?
Morehouse College.
You gonna be a Morehouse man?
Yeah, I think I need to go to Morehouse.
Oh, he gonna be a Morehouse man. So he's gonna have it good. I really congratulate you on that, man, Cameron.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. Our students are terrific here.
Yeah, Morehouse man get a lot of respect, man.
Yep. No, that's absolutely true. So, Alan, tell us a little bit about, and we'll get back to the Cardinals here in a second, but tell us a little bit about what you're up to these days.
Well, you know, I'm still doing my DJ business. And in fact, I can plug my cousin's spot. It's called The Gavel, 8745 Jenny Station Road. I'm there every Wednesday night. I just started last night. But we have good music, great food, great drinks, and we do karaoke on Wednesdays. And this is an adult, mature crowd. No kids in there, no twerking or anything like that. It's basically a 40 and over crowd. So I'm really having a lot of fun. And I'm really healthy now, too. And I think that's going to go a long way. I went to the doctor yesterday. My blood pressure was 130 over 76.
Oh, that's good.
My heart's in good shape. I mean, everything is going well. Because remember, when I had my stroke back in 2013, my blood pressure was 260 over 140.
Oh, my.
And I talked to the doctor yesterday. She said the only thing that saved me back then, because I never drank, I never smoked, never did any drugs, and my heart was in perfect condition to continue to pump oxygen to my brain. So I was really blessed, and it proved once and for all I did have a brain.
Oh, that's fabulous. And you know, one of the things I was going to ask is, do you ever do jazz like your dad did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, the jazz I do is more traditional. I mean, more contemporary now, but you know, Dad, he liked Thelonious Monk and Charlie Parker and all of those guys, and I still got all that in my computer though.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing your dad always said about the music, and I was just going to ask Cameron, I guess you probably listen to the regular music that all the kids listen to, right? Yeah. You know, and I don't know, you probably heard this, Alan, but, you know, Alan's dad was incredible, an amazing broadcaster. You know, and he used to say that he couldn't believe that the kids in the future would be talking about the music that they hear today. And, you know, they'd be married for 30 years and they'd say, hey, you remember the song that we used to listen to? And I can't even say the words because I'm here in the commons here. But, you know, the kind of language and, you know, it's just...
I can see somebody in 2042 saying, remember that Sexy Red concert we went to?
Yeah.
But you know what? But Mark, I'm gonna tell you though.
Hey, hang on, I'm gonna be right back here a second.
Okay. I'm Cameron, you know this. All the music they play is not like that though. There are still some great artists, great R&B artists. I can go down the line with her and people like that, you know, and even people like Chris Brown and Drake, you know, they do R&B music also. So I enjoy that. You know, sometimes people, they concentrate on the negative stuff that we hear. And let's face it, Cameron, when I was growing up in the 90s, we had a rapper named Lil' Kim. We had a rapper named Foxy Brown. We had a rapper named Kaya. All the stuff that Sexy Red is saying, they said the same thing 30 years ago. But people my age now are criticizing them when some of the people were dancing to Lil' Kim and some of the people. So the music just evolves, you know. And I enjoy it all. You know, of course, I can't play Pound Town at some of the parties I do. But I do enjoy a lot of the artists that are around now.
Yeah. So that's a great question, though. Tell me about how you ended up doing both sports and the music. How did all that happen?
Well, you know, sports was natural because my dad loved sports. You know,
listen, your dad was doing sports way back before anything else.
He was doing sports before he actually did his regular talk show. It was called KKSS then. That turned into magic stations. And he used to do a sports show with a guy named Scott St. James. It was called Sports of All Sorts. It came on Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So let me interrupt you a second, Alan. Cameron's got to run. So we want to say goodbye to him and thank him for joining us here, which was really very nice. So Cameron, you be good. Okay.
Yeah, take care, Cameron. It's nice talking to you. And congratulations on your state championship and being a Morehouse man.
You know, one of the things I was going to say to you are you familiar with the lawsuit cooking over at Harris Stowe?
I've heard about it, but I haven't really gotten much detail on it.
Okay. Well, do me a favor. I got to walk away just for one second. So if you will give a little rundown on some of the players on the Cardinals right now, and I'll be back in a second. Can you do that?
Sure.
Okay. Excellent.
Yes. The Cardinals, they pitcher staff basically has a new look now. They signed Lance Lynn, Sonny Gray, and they got Middleton in the bullpen. Now I think the bullpen actually improved better than the starters did. And let's face it, we love Adam Wainwright, but the Cardinals are a lot better off without him because he did nothing last year. When I mean nothing, he did nothing. But, you know, they was trying to get him to his 200 victories. And fortunately and unfortunately at the same time, he actually got his 200 victories because the Cardinals were playing so bad. Because once they were out of the race, they just decided to go put him out there every fourth or fifth, every fifth day so he could try to get his victories. And at one point, he had lost like 9 games in a row. He had lost like 9 games in a row, and it was a struggle for him. But he went out there and kept fighting, and his ERA, I think, was, which is earned run average, was the highest in the National League of all starters with the number of innings that he pitched. It was like it was like 9. I think I could have pitched almost as good as that. So he's gone now, and his buddy Yadier Molina is gone, which I really don't understand the Yadier Molina thing, because he couldn't wait to get out of St. Louis, people. Yeah, they have hired him as some kind of special assistant to John Mozeliak, but we haven't seen him. He hasn't shown up for spring training. He hasn't shown up in the front office, which, you know, which is his prerogative. And everybody's saying, well, maybe we need Yadi as a manager. Yadi doesn't want to manage the Cardinals, I don't believe. I've heard rumblings that he might want to manage, but I haven't heard him say it himself. He's got a baseball team down in Puerto Rico. He's got a basketball team in Puerto Rico. So he's spending most of his time down there. And if people remember, when Molina was hurt year before last, a lot of his rehab was done away from the Cardinals in Puerto Rico. He wasn't even with the team. And I'm not criticizing him. I'm just stating a fact. So, you know, all the people want Molina to come back, and he was great for the Cardinals. Him and Wainwright was a good tandem. And a good tandem, they set the, I won't say record, it was just a milestone with 200 starts with the pitcher and catcher together. But Molina didn't want to come back for his final year. He had to be talked into coming back so him and Wainwright could get that milestone.
Yeah. Well, you know, opening day this year, of course, is now going to be Miles Michaelis.
Michaelis.
Yeah. What do you think about him? Because he's actually been pretty good for us.
Yeah, he's been pretty. That's what he's been the most consistent as far as first one of all staying healthy, and you know he's not a strikeout pitcher, but. And people are talking, oh, he's an innings eater. You know, my thing about the innings eater is if you pitch 6 innings and give up 5 or 6 runs, what difference does it make when you give a lot of innings? All it does is save the bullpen. But, yeah, okay.
I'll be right there. You go ahead.
I love live streaming. So we can do this in live streaming. There's no program director screaming at us. What are you doing and everything? Mark, we had this conversation before we came on here. But I love this format, though. Just kind of digress for a minute. I love this format. We just be ourselves. We just be ourselves, and we don't have to. I'm not going to get on here and give a whole bunch of stats, because nobody wants to hear stats all the time. You could go on the internet and get all the stats you want. And besides, if I give a wrong stat, there's somebody out there waiting, just waiting for me or anybody else who does a show to make a mistake. Then they're all over social media saying, oh, you got that wrong. He didn't do this. He didn't hit that many home runs. So this format here is pretty good. I love talking baseball, though. I love my team, though. I'm going to be honest. I root for the Cardinals to win. But if they don't win, and if I see something wrong, I'm going to say something. I'm not going to bash people. I don't do name calling. And also a lot of my Facebook friends are probably listening to me right now. And they know it's something I've never done. I've never called for a manager to be fired. I didn't call for Mike Matheny to be fired. I didn't call for Mike Schilt to be fired. And I haven't called for Ollie to be fired. Because I know how the team is run in the front office. So I know a couple of my buddies, Mike Fitzsimmons and Scotty Walters and Robert Hellington, Robert Helly, Eric Weathersby, just to name a few. C.L. Matthews, I know you're probably out there. So, because I tagged, these are all people I tagged on before I came on the show. So, if you're listening out there, you know, you'll know how we do. We have great conversations about the Cardinals. We have one friend, he said we're kind of being negative. But my thing, I'm not negative if I'm telling the truth. And there's just certain things that I have concerns about. But I always say, at the end of the season, every criticism I have of the Cardinals, I would be so glad to come on the air or Facebook or social media and say I was wrong. Because most of us want to be wrong when it comes to the baseball team. Because we want to see them win. But the problem is, you know, sometimes things don't work out. Everybody said, well, we are the weak division. The problem with the weak division now is, with the new schedule they got, it's a balanced schedule now. We don't get to see Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and Chicago 18 times a year. The schedule is balanced now. And if you look at the Cardinals where the season started, our schedule is brutal starting off. We got the Dodgers. We got the Marlins. You know, I believe we got the Padres. You know, this team could be 5 or 10, but I won't say 10 games because it's not that many. We could be well under 500 by after 3 weeks of the season. But on the other hand, we could get off to a good start. Look what the Dodgers are doing now. They're not putting their pitchers, sure, not doing the greatest. They're a $30 million, they're $125 million pitcher they signed. He got rocked this morning. But you know what? I got a pretty good feeling he's going to do better than that during the regular season. And I just wish that we had a guy like him. And I know we don't have the finances to sign a pitcher like him. And the Dodgers can do that. They have a $7 billion TV contract.
Yeah, but you know what? Is there a reason that we can't get Montgomery?
You know, that's a head scratcher. You know, I quiet as this camp, I don't think Montgomery wants to come back to St. Louis. I don't think it has anything to do with the agent. People are talking about Scott Boras, you know. Scott Boras, you know, he has some of the highest priced clients in baseball, but the season starts next week and Montgomery doesn't have a job. And exactly. I'm sure the Cardinals have reached out to him. See, one thing about the Cardinals, they're very quiet-lipped about who they talk to or who they want to negotiate with. So just because the Cardinals haven't signed him, it doesn't mean that they haven't made him an offer. But I just don't think Montgomery was, because when he was traded, I'm not too sure he wanted to leave St. Louis when he was traded. Now, it worked out for him because he ended up getting traded to the Texas Rangers, and now he's got a World Series ring. But the Rangers haven't re-signed him either.
Right.
So that and the Rangers have a lot of money. So that may throw up a red flag too.
To me, and I don't know, maybe they just don't have the personality skills. I don't know. But it seems to me that they could go to Montgomery and say, look, we really want to come back this year, big time. We need you. Not only do we need you, but you could use us and get yourself another ring. But
yeah, the problem is when you finish 20 games under, when you finish 71 and 91, throwing that spin out there about another ring might be a little, that you can say if you sign with us long term, you know, we can start building our team up, because the Cardinals have some excellent young talent. You know, they have some excellent young players. And you know the nice thing about it, Mark? The Cardinals' top three young prospects are African American. Mason Wynn, Jordan Walker, and Victor Scott, who I think is going to end up making a roster this year by default, because the regular Cardinal center fielders are hurt. And it's interesting. And Mark, I got a stat for you. You know how many African Americans are playing in Major League Baseball right now?
Well,
all the teams.
Wait, before you tell me that, I'm going to sell a couple of things here.
Sure.
And then after I do, we're going to go right to the statistic on blacks in baseball, and then I got another question for you as well. So, first of all, I'm all the way in the city right now, but I can tell you that I'm still hungry, and I'm thinking about Wendy's, which is in Chesterfield Valley at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and the food is phenomenal. In fact, I'm so far away from Wendy's right now that I'm really craving it, because it's just, you know, if you're right next to it, you know you can always get it. But when you're 20 miles away, you're sitting here thinking, I'll never eat again. But anyway, Wendy's is out there on Chesterfield Airport Road, and they've got wings and all the great smoked meat that they've got there. And they've got pizza, and they've got baby back ribs and onion rings and patty melts. I mean, I would say that probably sounds good to you, Alan, because it sounds
great. Making me hungry.
Great. And one of the great owners who's out there, Ben, he just welcomes everybody. And it's just a great place to go to eat. And that's Wendy's on Chesterfield Airport Road in the Valley. And next, I'll tell you where I am. I'm over here on by Grand and Enright, and it's a lot closer where I am right now to 4506 Hampton, which is where Jules on Hampton is, and the owner is Al and his son AJ, and they are there all the time, and they have great jewelry. They create their own jewelry. They also will, you know, make things for people. If people say, look, this is what I would like, they'll help you with that. They'll repair watches. They buy and sell coins. It's just a great place to go and do business in jewelry. It is. Jewels on Hampton, that's the name, and that is the business. And we tell you, you can go out there and say hi to Al anytime. 4506 Hampton. That's Jewels on Hampton.
There's nothing like supporting a family-owned business.
Say it again?
Nothing like supporting a family-owned business.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I tell them all the time, you know, if you go into these businesses where the owner is there, they beat the heck out of these other places. They just
right.
do. You know, it's not like going into some, you know, chain store. This
it was
is
a big name jewelry store.
Absolutely. And then finally, you know, St. Louis Suit Company, and you know, I'm wearing one of my suits, and I got a nice tie, and you know, it's a pink shirt with a pink tie. It's, you know, I you may not know this, Alan, but I happen to be colorblind, but you know, they helped me out at the store. They helped
okay.
me to, you know, put things together. So anyway, I'm in good shape. And I'll tell you right now that I wear, you know, nice suits and ties because of them. And their ties are $5 a tie. And I'm sitting here wearing a silk tie that costs $5. And Alan, did you know that you could buy this tie from Donald Trump? He'd sell it to you for $50. and it would choke you.
Just to mention Donald Trump's name chokes me.
So anyway, that's on Forsyth and Central in Clayton, and that is the great St. Louis Suit Company, where
they've been there a long time too.
Jay and Nick are there all the time, and they've been there for 29 years.
Yeah,
that is true. Okay, so go ahead. You're going to give me some numbers on black players in baseball.
Okay, you know, most major league rosters, the full roster has 40 people on it, 40 players on it. That's the regular roster, and they have the extra regular roster, I believe it's 20, 26, and they have 14 other people on their roster. Multiply that by 30. That's 1,200 players, I believe.
Yep.
59 are African Americans.
That's amazing.
That's 59 total. And the Cardinals have three of them. Might have three or four. And in fact, you have four in a start on the starting roster this year. And I always say that because I hear people saying, well, why don't the Cardinals get more black players? They aren't trying to get black players. And I try to tell people, black people aren't playing baseball. African Americans aren't playing baseball. Yeah. You know, and you know, if I go to the store, if I want some bananas and they don't have any, I can't get any. So, you know, I mean, it would be nice to see them, but they're playing others. And I look at St. Louis baseball, all the black kids, like public schools, a lot of public schools don't have baseball programs anymore.
We have a program here, and I'll tell you, we got some good kids, because you know our kids love sports. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's a private school too.
No, that's true. But I'll say this, you know how many people go to how many black people go to baseball games? The percentage number across the league, and it's the same in St. Louis.
It's less than 5%, isn't it?
It is. It's 3%. 3%, and remind me now, and I think you probably know the name, but the guy that Onion and I used to go to on the Cardinals, who was trying to pump up the black community participation on the team. Do you remember his name?
Oh God, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, it's on mine too. I can see his face. I just can't.
Did he run the RBI program?
He what?
Did he run the RBI program?
Yes. Yes.
And you know something? Some of my Facebook friends are probably beating themselves on the head because I should know that name.
Yeah. Because but I remember.
I don't want to throw.
I remember what we did back then is we had the KWK day at the ballpark back when we owned 1380.
1380, right.
And that guy actually set it up. But it is amazing how few black people are involved in baseball in so many ways, which is incredible when you start thinking back to, you know, you've already talked about our great pitcher. Bob Gibson, of course.
Yeah,
but how about great players like Clemente and Mays and Hank Aaron,
Willie Stargell,
and you know that in Florida they actually banned books about Clemente and Hank Aaron.
Is that something?
And I was asking at the time, what reason could they have for banning books on those baseball players? Except for I can only think of one reason. Right?
What is that? Yeah, racism.
Now, exactly.
And it's funny because Clemente, with the Hispanic population and Latino population down in Florida, you know, you would think that those people, you know, would love to hear about Roberto Clemente.
Absolutely.
And it's funny because, you know, when Roberto Clemente, he joined the 3,000 hit club last game of the year.
That was his last hit.
He made his 3,000. His last hit was 3,000. Then he went to they had a disaster in Managua, Nicaragua. And he was on a plane, and the plane crashed. And that's how he ended up with just 3,000 hits, because
he hit 300.
Yeah, he hit 300, and he may have he may have been up there. I won't say Pete Rose, because Pete Rose is, but he may have been close to Stan Musial, because he was fairly young. He was fairly young when he died. But he was in his early thirties, mid thirties.
Now I'll tell you another name that's sort of interesting in baseball, and I know that you know the name Elston Howard.
And, you
know, he was the first black player for the New York Yankees. I believe it was maybe 55, but somewhere around there. And you know, he went to Vashon
High School. He's a Wolverine.
He was, and if you go to Vashon High School today, the gymnasium is the Elston Howard Gymnasium at Vashon High School. And you know, here's a story for you. When I was there, I called the family, the Elston Howard family. They live in New York. I found them there, and I invited them to come to St. Louis and come into the auditorium at Vashon to watch, at that time, the Jackie Robinson movie 42 came out.
Right.
And they said, we would love to come.
Oh, yeah.
And I arranged this whole thing. And when we went to the leaders at St. Louis Public Schools, what do you think they said?
No.
They said, no way, we're not doing it. You know, and listen, Alan, the worst thing to say about that is those people were black.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, now.
I'm not surprised, Mark. You know, my dad used to talk about that all the time.
Just like your dad always said, like the time he went to get your books. And he went down and he said, look, I don't want to talk to any of these blackies. I want the white man who runs this place.
And you know, it's so funny because it may have been school had started in about 2 or 3 weeks. And Dad said, do y'all ever do any homework? He said, they haven't given us any books yet. And that's when he went and talked to people. And I remember like yesterday, he said, we went to the office. He said, I want to talk to somebody white. And those almost his exact words. And a week later, all the classrooms in our school had books.
Well, yeah, but let's not forget. First, he said, I want to talk to the white man who runs this place. And then the second thing that he said is that if you don't get them their books right now, he says, don't worry. Don't be upset. I'm just going to go out and make a phone call to channel 2, 4,
yeah.
5, and 11 and tell them there's a race riot.
They said, yeah, no. And they have come down and there's a riot of one.
We'll get them the books.
But it was interesting, though. Like you said, Roosevelt had theirs. Roosevelt had books. McKinley had books. Southwest had books. Cleveland had books, you know. All the schools south of Highway 40 had books. But for some reason, and he checked with some of the other high schools too. He just didn't check with our school. He kind of called around, and the other schools did have some books, but they didn't have all the books that they needed.
It's unbelievable. Well, you know, also, I told you that Washington University has all of those old DVDs from Showdown, the TV show that we did over on KDHX
yes.
for 5 years, and they're putting them all up online right now, and they're going to do a whole big thing honoring your dad, and of course we'll get you involved in all of that as well. And
oh, I appreciate it.
No, it's very exciting, and it's just sad that Onion isn't here to enjoy it, but certainly he looks so good on those programs. I'm telling you, it brings back those days in a way that is just beyond imagination. I'm telling you.
Well, you know, he looked like his son. That's why he looked so good on there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he was younger than you are right now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, but Mark, you know what? you mentioned it about it being sad that he's not here. And we had this conversation the other day. It's even more sad that nobody in St. Louis barely talks about Onion now. With the exception of me, you, Maurice Scott, and a few other people, there isn't much talk about my dad around now. But you know,
yeah, I will say, I got on the air with Freeman Bosley.
I mentioned him. Freeman does too.
Yes, some weeks ago, and Freeman, of course, was very excited about it. And Freeman, just it's so funny. I told him what we were doing, and he didn't even realize. In fact, here, hold on 1 second. Talk about Freeman a second. I'll be right back.
Oh yeah, well we all know Freeman. He has a radio show. I believe it's on 100.3, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody will come in and they also stream. But you know, Freeman and my dad, they had a great thing. And Big Jake, remember Big Jake had the barbecue place. We used to go to the barbecue place and do the show. So I want to thank Freeman also for keeping, you know, just for keeping my dad's memory alive. And my thing is, you know, there's some people who don't have to do it, let's face it. Because a lot of people were jealous of my dad. And they were jealous of him, but you know, they were smiling his face. You know, it was old song called Smiling Faces. Sometimes pretend to be your friend. That was a lot of people with my dad, because I know when my dad got sick, you know, there were a lot of young people, oh, we go support your dad, we go pray for him, everything, which was great. But when my father passed, you know, the phone calls didn't come in like I thought they would. His service was wonderful. Everybody who should have been there was there. And, you know, I never really had a chance to thank people publicly, you know, for the support that he did have. Because let's face it, Mark, his advertisers were the best. Now, we'll give that to them. You know, two people I think of, Andrea Gordon and Phil Person.
Absolutely. You know,
two of the best people around, because you've heard this story before. I know one time Phil Person had mentioned to my dad, he said, this relationship they had. He said, you know, business kind of slow, it's winter time. He said, you know, I'm gonna stop advertising for a while. So dad said, okay. Next morning, dad gets on the air, runs a Phil Person ad. Next day he does it again. And you know, and Phil called him and said, you know, I told y'all, so he said, look, man, he said, I'm gonna keep your name out there. We have that relationship. So you know, but he did that for a lot of people. Politicians. He let a lot of politicians on the air that some of these other stations wouldn't dare let on the air. And these are people he disagreed with. You didn't have to agree with him. And Mark, you know that. You know,
absolutely.
But he always felt that whatever he could to help black people, you know, even if he didn't agree with them philosophically, now he wouldn't let somebody like Tim Scott on his show.
No, wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, but I'm just glad I get the opportunity not only to talk about my dad, but to talk about sports with you, because sports is a passion to me. I love it. You know, my TV is on right now. I got the NCAA tournament on my TV in a row. I will be watching basketball till 11 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, your dad knew everything about every sport. I mean, there was no limit. Why don't you talk about that for a minute, and I'll be right there.
Yeah, he knew. He knew a lot about sports, and that's how he got to do the shows. And it's funny because Dad used to go to Saturday morning. My father would go down to the St. Louis Public Library. Library opened at 9 o'clock. He was there at 8:50. When that door opened, he stayed at the library all day, just reading out-of-town newspapers. See, now you can just get online and do it now. But he would read out-of-town newspapers. He read sports sections because he used to always call. He used to call the Post-Dispatch the fish wrapper. So, you know, people that are younger than us know what he meant. that in the old days, people would take a bite of fresh fish and they'll wrap it in newspaper. Because when Dan would get on the air and just read the headlines, he'd say, let's check the Daily Fish Wrapper and see what's going on in St. Louis. And that's how he got his show started. And he would do a sports section the same way. But, you know, anything he talked about, you know, he already had knowledge of it because he had a thing. He said he's never asked a question that he didn't already know the answer to. And if somebody asked him a question, if he didn't know the answer, he would tell them. You know, I hear so many people on the radio now, they want to try to impress people with what they think they know, but they don't know. And with the internet nowadays, you have to be right. You have to be right in whatever you say, because people will listen to you, they'll applaud you. A lot of people won't say anything, but the moment you make a mistake, they are out there, they put your name online saying, this person was wrong about this, or this person was wrong about that. That's why, you know, radio or what we're doing now, internet broadcasting, it looks easy, but you better know what you're doing. You better do your homework. It's like in the days of KMOX Sports Open Line, if they call to ask a question to Bob Burns and Bob Bragg or whoever, you asked the question, they hung up, they could tell you whatever. But you didn't have the tools to research whatever they said. Now, don't get me wrong, they were right most of the time. Bob Burns and Bob Bragg, they were very knowledgeable in sports, but if they happened to make a mistake, there was no internet, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, no X, Instagram, or whatever means you use, internet. There was nothing to let them know that they made a mistake. They didn't realize that they made a mistake after the show, and maybe the program director or something would call them, but the audience never had a chance to call them out. So, this internet thing is great. I love the format. I have several people who have internet shows, and sometimes I just listen to them. And one of my favorites was, of course, was the late Demetrius Johnson, who was also very involved in sports. Now, this guy knew sports, you know. Sometimes we bumped heads. We bumped heads about some things. But as far as a local sports guy was concerned, he was very dedicated to what he did. And I got to do a couple of his events for him when he had the charity basketball games. You know, I went and supported him because I knew what he was giving back to the community. This didn't have anything to do whether we agreed that the Missouri football team may not be any good this year, or maybe I criticized him for missing a tackle. So, you know, it was just about support. And that's what I would like to see more people do. You know, just try to support each other. And not just because we look alike, just because it's the right things to do. I got a couple of white friends who I can mention one of them. His name is Scotty Walter. This guy here is one of the best people that I know. We talk offline about sports, about racism. He can talk to me openly about racism in sports all the time, and I don't judge him because sometimes I disagree with him. But we come to think we have a mutual respect for each other. Because at the end of our conversation, he'll always say, you know, I didn't know that. I learned something from you, or I learned something from him. So I just think that this social media thing, a lot of older people don't get it, but I get it. I've got 3,700 Facebook friends. And the scary part is, I think I know 3,600 of them. So it's a good format to interact with people. Every morning, we get on there, our sports buddies, John Sloan, Mike Fitzsimmons, Eric Weathersby, Craig
Eric
Riggins.
Eric Weathersby, now there's a name.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Craig Riggins. If I don't mention Craig Riggins, my phone will be ringing after the show. Oh, you mentioned everybody with me. Hey, I've done a show. Yes.
We got 10 seconds anyway, so we're going off.
Okay, go ahead and close up.
We're going to get off of here. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.
God bless you.